Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jesse Mulligan with you, just gas-bagging with Kate Roger as per during that weather forecast.
How are you, mate? A terrible person. I'm sorry for distracting you like that.
Just came in and started yarning away.
Oblivious
to the fact it was my turn to turn the microphone on and start talking to the nation.
Isn't that your job, though? Well, you know, I'm a guest. Yeah. You're the host.
It's my journey and you're just the hurdle. Kate Rogers here with the movie review in a moment, and then New Zealand Live features Hannah Everingham, who I'm so excited about. It's been ages since I came across someone like this, and just as soon as I heard her music, I thought, oh yeah, this is me. So I hope you enjoy her music as well. She'll be performing live in our Christchurch studio. Later, a recipe for sticky toffee pudding. Yum. I thought you might join in there.
Mm.
You're a sticky toffee pudding girl?
Yeah, I am. Anything sticky and toffee-like,
Great. Well, this should be perfect. Stan Scott is keen to help you with your DIY conundrums. What are you doing this weekend? Are you... I always try and think off the top of my head of some DIY things.
Are you going to make another desk?
I sent you a photo of that desk and you were impressed.
I was impressed. Yep. I wasn't going to talk about it publicly that I was impressed.
I know so little about DIY that even when I try and come up with hypothetical DIY examples, I can't think of any. Are you cleaning your gutters? Are you repainting your window frames?
I put together a herb garden made of corrugated iron last weekend.
Did you?
It was 20 pieces and 200 bolts, approximately. I could be exaggerating.
Yeah.
And I took one look at it and nearly fainted. And then 4 hours later, I have a wonderful herb garden.
Hey!
And I felt with everything that's crumbling around us, and I totally get you with your desk, I sat and looked at that thing, and it's a kit set and it's supposed to be put together by someone as thick as I am.
Yeah.
So satisfying.
It is.
I built a thing.
Yeah.
And it's still standing.
What sort of size is it?
It's, 3 metres by 1.5 metres.
No, I don't think it's that big.
Excuse me?
It's the size of a car.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not that big. 3 feet by two,
okay,
two centimetres?
Okay, that sounds about right.
It's kind of, okay, it's that big.
Oh, that's helpful on radio. 2101 to get in touch. Best you stick to movies, mate.
Oh, man. I'm still getting over the fact that you called me a hurdle on your life's journey.
You're just lucky
I'm still here. I've been to see Ghostbusters.
This snuck up on me. I didn't even... So we were out with friends last night and they said, we were talking about like showing classic movies to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, we showed our kids Ghostbusters, don't do
1984.
It.
1984. What?
Well, Bill Murray... bit of a sex pest, lots of, you know,
things
that sort of flew in the
80s.
They said even Back to the Future wasn't, you know, rewatching it with kids felt kind of wrong.
I need to probably think about those things a little bit
Well,
more.
We had the misfortune of playing Love Actually for our children over the Christmas period. We thought, well, finally you can sit down and watch this beautiful romantic movie. But that is way ruder than
Remember. Yeah. There's a whole kind of relationship situation there that it takes a lot of explaining what they do for their day jobs.
And Richard Curtis, his humour is a lot of kind of like just using the F word in really shocking ways.
I know.
I've forgotten about.
It's so interesting. You have a film opening that I'm not reviewing called Wicked Little Letters, and I'm not reviewing it because it's been reviewed on your wonderful show and also because I've yet to see it, but it's Olivia Colman. And it's given sort of open slather for even the mother of the nation, Hilary Barry, to openly use cuss words. And I'm
really
finding it quite, I feel like we've just reached a threshold. I'm not going to do it for you, obviously, but there seems to be a bit of a shift. There's that element, if you're talking about feminism or women necessarily, what's the difference between you saying a cuss word and me saying a cuss word? And there should not be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how ladies speak. Tends to be the next thing coming out of it.
Well, you know, actually, I'm deeply conservative, so I don't think anyone should be cussing.
You're basically a housewife in the 50s. No, I know. And I do try to moderate my language around you as a direct result, because you should respect the company that you're in to a degree.
So,
anyway, I digress.
Ghostbusters.
Speaking of swearing.
So this has got Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd back together.
probably. I might have been asleep through that bit. I really enjoyed Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was the first kind of reboot that came out a couple of years ago. And it introduced the daughter and the granddaughter and grandson of Spengler. And it had a kind of a really old school retro feel to it that I loved. And it also had a Stranger Things kind of vibe, which I also dug. Great performances. Paul Rudd entered from stage left. And who doesn't love Paul Rudd?
Yeah.
And it just came together as a really good watch. So I've expected more of the same. It's the same director-writer. I know that Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman, they've been the Ghostbusters kind of father-son duo, and Ivan passed away 2022, and he's given a kind of a sign-off in this film. Oh. So it's got wonderful DNA, and I think it's, and maybe I'm just feeling a bit bitter and twisted at the minute. Sometimes you take your stuff into the cinema, don't you? But there's an element of what do the audiences want, and let's just wheel it in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And what did they love about the original? Why don't we? And there is a lot of different franchises that have done the same with us over the last 10 years, and I don't feel necessarily as resentful in the Star Wars universe, for example, but I did feel resentful with it in this particular bit, and not so much so that I just wasn't entertained by it. It's not enough anymore, and even in a big audience, it wasn't enough that, you know, Bill Murray slid round the corner and gave us a Venkman line. It was just like, oh yeah, of course he was going to return for the right paycheck. It was kind of, there was a little bit of an element of that.
It felt cynical.
I felt cynical watching it. So that's not how an audience member should necessarily feel, but it was mildly entertaining. It's just not remotely fresh. When I say mildly entertaining, it wasn't that entertaining. All I know is that Max, I had two 11-year-olds, Max and Maury, next to me, and they were, with their popcorn and donut, they were, you know, are you not entertained? They were passably entertained.
Yeah.
But I felt
funny, an average
undernourished.
Movie, an average movie, I think even kids kind of sense it's not that flash. I mean, you know, even if it's got all the stuff on paper, we watched the Marvels as a family and the kids weren't.
That's because, it just wasn't.
Nah.
It just
but
wasn't
it had,
good.
You know, a superhero movie and there were action scenes and stuff, but it didn't hang together for us as adults.
No,
and even
the kids.
Even the kids.
I get it. And also, I also think when we talk about how sophisticated an audience is, and I think audiences are more and more so, and we're also more likely, you know, we walk away from a show after a couple of eps if we're not into it. Mm-hmm. If you've paid $20 to go to a movie, you're less likely to walk out on it, but it doesn't mean that our expectations aren't at a certain level. And I think we don't want to feel like a nostalgia button is being pushed within us just for the benefit of that feeling. I think there has to be more to it than that.
You're not allowed to walk out because you've got to stick around and review it.
Never walk out of a film. I don't think I ever have done.
Don't you?
May have had sneaky little cheeky catnaps, but I don't walk out of movies.
Yeah. I've walked down at a couple. I find it very empowering.
I'm sure. There's an element of me, and I know it sounds ridiculously old-fashioned, but it just feels disrespectful.
Yeah.
Because I know, regardless of what the audiences think, I know even for the rubbish films, so many people have worked so hard to make that. So I will judge you, Jesse Mulligan. No walking out of movies.
Okay. Is Roadhouse any better?
Depends on two things. If you find superficially that Jake Gyllenhaal is pleasing to observe after he spends a lot of time in the gymnasium, then there will be a modicum of pleasure to be drawn from Roadhouse. I was not diverted enough by this. I did manage to make it through to the end and I didn't have to walk out of a cinema. It's going on to Prime, so it's not being released in cinemas. And it is a remake of the original one, which is essentially Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I did wonder, actually.
Absolute legend. It's been so long since I've seen that film that I don't really remember the emotions that it particularly engendered. But it kind of had that B-movie feel that I was entertained by. But also, you may not know this about me, but there's only two people I can remember bursting into tears when I heard that they died. One of them was Freddie Mercury and the other one was Patrick Swayze.
Oh.
I adore him, and not for Dirty Dancing, which, shock horror, I don't necessarily love as much as the fans do, but pretty much in everything else that I've seen him in. And one of the wonderful tie-ins with Swayze and Gyllenhaal is one of my top 10 films of all time, Donnie Darko. And I love that they had that screen time together, and I've loved listening to Jake talking through the junkets and interviews about having that connectivity with, because he became quite good friends with Patrick and his wife. And he's a legend. So he is a fighter that fights people. He's really good at it, and he goes and works a roadhouse that's been taken over by gangs and bad businessmen, and he beats some people at the end.
Great, sounds amazing. Well, if that sounds like you, Roadhouse is your movie. Interesting you mentioned Dirty Dancing. I think it is possible to appreciate a film even if you don't think it's that fantastic a film, right?
Like, what's the difference between appreciate? I can appreciate the cultural phenomenon and Don't Leave Baby in the Corner.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I get that, and I love that.
A couple
that
of
about
nice
it.
Dance sequences.
Sure.
A corny love story. Just the fact that everyone saw it. I was thinking about, there's another film that is pretty much universally reviled by critics, Breakfast Club.
Another great cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Just appreciate it for what it is, which is a bunch of, you know, Brat Packers hanging out over the course of the movie, even if the movie means nothing.
Yep, that's another. What am I doing?
She's doing
gesticulating.
More hand signals, listeners. So
yeah, me and radio, we go together like this. Okay. See that?
So, not a great week for your.
I'm sorry.
Film watching,
I tell you what. I did have a little bonus start to my week, though, and I know you guys will chat more in depth about the film itself when it's on release. But there's a new New Zealand film, Te Maunga, or The Mountain, that is coming out next week, and I got to sneak down to Taranaki and see the premiere at TSB Showplace in that wonderful old theatre, my old stomping ground of the Naki. And it was one of those lovely experiences where you take a film back home, and you realise that there are so many stories that have so much connectivity in so many different ways. And it was to be inside that cinema, feel the whole community, whether they were involved in making the film or not, celebrating their mountain, which Tom Cruise stole and made it, made it Fuji for Samurai. And this time she gets to play herself. So that was a highlight of the week, even if the rest of my viewing hasn't been too spectacular.
Love it to have you in. Thanks so much.
Always.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.